We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
So Paul saying, awake to righteousness. And then he said, you will not sin because you won't want to sin. I mean, do you know anybody that's out sinning and just don't want to do it at all? Well, there may be something within their spirit telling them not to do it, but it's the flesh that's leading them and the desire of the flesh that's leading them there and causing them to do it. But when you awake to righteousness and get your spirit, soul, and body consumed with the fact that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and we're filled with the fullness with God Himself, sin loses its appeal to you. So here again, Paul states that God took away the first that He may establish the second. He took away the first covenant that He may establish the second covenant, the will of God, by the which will we are sanctified. See, that proves He's talking about a will here. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In other words, that sacrifice was once for all. If Christ died for all, then Paul said, if Christ died for all, then I thus judge that all are dead. Thank God we were crucified with Christ. And as far as God's concerned, that's the way it is. As I said in one of the other sessions, crucifixion is not a way of life. Crucifixion was a one-time act. It's resurrection that is a way of life. Thank God. Verse 12, for this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. In other words, the thing as far as God's concerned is perfected forever. This sacrifice and the sacrificial offering will never be done again. It's absolutely, totally, completely done away with sin. Now, I think we've mentioned it. I want to mention it again. Jesus cured the sin problem. Now, there is a sinner problem, but there's no sin problem. He cured the sin problem. And He says it here, perfected forever. Now, by one sacrifice, He did it. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, and after that He has said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their hearts, and in their minds I'll write them. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where the remission of sin is, now I want you to get this. Where the remission of sin is, there is no more offering for sin. Now, see, under the old covenant, there was an atonement for sin. There was no remission. It was an atonement. But now, under the new covenant, there is remission of sin. That means it is remitted. It's done away with. That means it doesn't exist anymore. I mean, it's like Colossians, Paul talked about in Colossians, that he took the carnal ordinances, he took them out of the way, nailed them to the cross, and he removed, I think the Greek says it like this, he not only got rid of the contract, but he removed the handwriting from the note. In other words, we're not obligated to that law of sin and death any longer. Thank God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us and knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So where remission of sin is, there's no more offering for sin. In other words, there's no other sacrifice can be made. There's people sometimes that want to sacrifice things physically. Well, I'd be willing to just suffer anything if my husband could get saved, someone said. Well, now you're trying to practice idolatry. You're trying to give up something, your finances or something, to get your husband saved. You're trying to offer a sacrifice for him. Better be careful with that. I've heard of people that said that, well, Lord, I'd just give up anything except my husband if I just get closer to God. Well, that didn't seem to work, so she finally dedicated that she'd give up her husband if she had to get closer to God. Well, the thing that happened, the devil came in and took advantage of the situation. Her husband died 3 months later with cancer, and she just knew God did it. No, she was practicing idolatry. She offered her husband as a sacrifice to get her closer to God. Now, you know, if you'd read the New Testament, you know that that's not biblical. There is no more offering. there is no more offering to get someone saved. See, I've heard of individuals that said, now, Lord, they were very well off financially. They said, I'm willing to give up all of our financial gain to just get my husband saved. Whatever the will of God is. Well, she could have read the Word of God and found out what the will of God is. But you see, the devil came along and took advantage of that situation. And they lost everything they had. The business went down the tube. They lost everything they had. She ended up working just by the hour. But she was so rejoicing, said her husband got saved. God answered her prayer. Well, her husband got saved. I'm proud of that. Thank God for that. But you see, she offered a sacrifice. She practiced idolatry. The devil came in and took advantage of that because she didn't have to offer a sacrifice. Jesus was the only sacrifice that had to be offered. So be careful. Don't go offering things before God. Try to make deals with God, because I'll tell you, it's a stench in the nostrils of God. God didn't have a thing to do with them losing their business. God didn't have a thing to do with that husband dying. It was because they opened the door to the devil by their foolish praying. See, it's dangerous when you don't know what the Word of God says. That's why we should study the Word of God and know that where there is remission of sin, there is no more offering for sin. There's just nothing else can be done. Thank God you're going to have to accept the fact that Jesus bore it. He carried it away. And if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Wouldn't it have been great if that lady would have known what the Apostle Paul told in the book of Acts when he said, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved and your household. And just stood on that scripture instead of offering her finances to get her husband saved. Well, thank God we have redemption, eternal redemption through Christ. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through His flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw nigh with true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, don't get the idea here that he's talking about baptism in water. That's not what he's referring to at all. Now, there are people that believe that it's the baptism that saves you, but no, that's not what he's referring to. You go to John 15th chapter and read verse 3. Jesus said to them, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. This is the water he's referring to here. This is the pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that is promised. Let us hold fast to it. Now you see, if you couldn't lose it, why would you have to hold fast to it? See, there's people that believe that there's no way that you could lose your salvation or your faith. Well, you can, or it wouldn't have said hold fast to it. Let us consider one another and provoke unto love, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, now listen to this, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Now, you need to realize something. Because you sin, say, now God, I'm promised to do this. If you'll just forgive me, I'll do this or I'll do that. You don't have to make a deal with God. There's no more sacrifice for sin. You're trying to offer a sacrifice to get God to talk Him into forgiving you. Well, that means you don't believe the new covenant. And people get in trouble that way. Well, they're going to make a deal with God. God's not making any deals. Now, it's all right if you purpose to do those things after you're forgiven, but you're not going to get forgiven because you're trying to make a deal with God. Because there's no more sacrifice. He's not going to receive that as a sacrifice. He wants you to do it out of love. But He wants you to believe what His Word said about 1 John 1:9. When you miss it, confess it, admit you've missed it, and just receive the divine provision that God offered you. Now, we notice here, come right on down to verse 34. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. In other words, don't throw it away. Don't throw away your confidence in God, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, that ye receive the promise. See, you have to, through faith and patience, possess the promises. I've had people call me and write me and say, well, now, brother, I did this and I did that, and I want to know why it's not working. Well, if it's God's Word and you acted on it, it is working. Quit casting away your confidence in God by speaking unbelief out of your mouth. It may not happen on Saturday night. It may not happen every time you think it should. But just know if you're doing God's Word, that's the will of God, and just keep on doing it. And thank God it'll work for you. It always does work. He comes on and says, now, the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by sight? No. The just shall live by what they see on television? No. The just shall live by what the newspaper reports? No. The just shall live by faith. Faith in God and His Word. See, don't analyze the Bible in the light of the 10 o'clock news. If you're going to watch the news, you better analyze the news in the light of the Word of God. Because I'll tell you what, God's Word will stand the test of time, and it'll work when everything else fails. So don't cast away your confidence, but live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, if you'll operate in the principles of God, do the will of God, and set your faith out there on God's Word and not on your own ability, you'll see it work for you. It'll change your life. It'll change the lives of those around you, because God's Word always works. Now, we're going to get into the Hebrews 11th chapter and find out about it.
God bless you. I do appreciate you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. Now, all of this week, we have CD offer number 7121. It's entitled, The Chastening of the Lord. It's a single CD for $8 plus $3 postage and handling, the total of $11. The Chastening of the Lord. You know, you hear people say, well, you know, the Lord chastens us with sickness and disease and all kinds of problems and tests in life. No, God doesn't do that. Now, if you believe that, you need to study the Word of God and find out that God is not the author of confusion, and God is not the one that's trying and testing your faith. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, He's the author of our faith. Then He knows that it'll work. He does not have to try it. Now, you may go through some trials and tests at times, and you may think it's the chastening of the Lord, but the Scripture tells us that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. No, what the chastening of the Lord is, He chastens us with His Word. So many people believe that Jesus chastens us with sickness and disease. Now, if you believe that, you're going to have a hard time believing that He'll heal you if He's the one that put it on you. In the 12th chapter, verse 5 of Hebrews, it says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now, what He's saying is that the sons will receive chastening, but if you're not a son, you won't receive chastening. How does He chasten us? He chastens us with His Word. That's offer number 7121, the chastening of the Lord, for a total of $11. Toll-free order line is 1-877-396-9400. 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps reminding you the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered today, call 1-877-396-9400. Or write Charles Capps, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. A complete list of CDs, books, and DVDs are available online at charlescapps.com. Through the website, you can listen to this radio program again and subscribe to our podcast. This broadcast is sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our listeners in this area.